días.
¿Cómo están todos? Bien, muy bien. Yo decidí que hoy yo voy a predicar en español y todos de ustedes tienen que escuchar la traducción. Dan.
Ah. He said, I've decided today I'm going to preach in Spanish and you guys will have to listen to the translation for the day.
Buena idea, ¿no?
Isn't that a great idea? See, what you guys may or may not know is that every week, Brian, or one of us, is back here in the back room translating the whole service and sermon for the great group of people that we have joining us who speak Spanish.
Y le doy la bienvenida a todos los que nos están visitando hoy.
And I give the welcome to all those who are visiting for the first time today.
Entonces, I'm going to switch to English now.
Ahora voy a cambiar a inglés.
But Dan, don't forget, aren't you translating? Okay, good. Okay, good morning. Yeah, I wanted to give a welcome to those Latin visitors, their brothers and sisters that have been coming to church here for quite some time now, and I give thanks to God for that Spanish-speaking ministry that he is building up here at Bible Baptist Church. To start off, I did get a message from Pastor Keith this morning, and he said, please thank the folks for all their prayers and encouraging words during my surgery and ongoing recovery. And so he's getting better slowly, still a lot of pain, continue to pray for that. And he says, I am praying for them. Thanks, Brian. I'll be watching. Uh-oh. So, open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Very good. You still remember the book of Philippians. We've been in the book of Philippians for a year and a half now, approximately. And we're going to get through it one of these days. We're going to get close to finishing chapter 3 today. Who knows who this guy is? Who is it? Just shout it. Michael Jordan. Now, I know some of you young people, like Pastor Josh, probably don't know who that is. But Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But did you know he wasn't always the greatest? Did you know he got cut from his high school basketball team? Isn't that amazing? He's the best of all time. Well, I consider him the best. I know that there's discussion about who really is. But he's one of the best of all time, and he got cut from a high school basketball team. Well, that motivated him. That pushed him to become the best player in the NBA. And during his time, whether you think of all time or not, during his time, he was the best player that played the game of basketball. But he pushed hard. He was known not just for being the greatest, but his work ethic. He would get there before anybody else to start practicing. He would leave. After everybody else was gone, he was still out on the court practicing. He wasn't satisfied with just being the best. He wanted to perfect his skill. He missed over 9,000 shots during his career. And he wanted to perfect what he was doing. In our spiritual lives, we should be doing the same thing that Michael Jordan did in basketball. That was Paul's goal, and Paul was going towards that in the book of Philippians. Now, last time we looked at Philippians 3, 1 through 11, and briefly in that passage, we see Paul's goal in life. First of all, in verse 8, it's to know Christ, and then in verse 10, to become like Christ. These are what those two verses say. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. That was verse 10. Verse 8, it says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That was his goal in life. And he wasn't satisfied with where he is, and he pursued that with his entire life. This morning, we're going to look on pressing on to know Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can be here to worship you. Thank you for your love and for your patience with us. And I pray that each one of us here would not be satisfied with where we are, but press on to the goal of knowing you and becoming like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing that we're going to look at is don't be satisfied with the present. Don't be satisfied with the present. Look at verse 12. It says, not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. Now, in the first verse there, in verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained this. Well, what's he talking about? What hasn't he obtained? He hasn't obtained being completely Christ-like. He doesn't know Christ sufficiently to be completely like Christ. The next part says, or am already perfect. He realizes he's got a long way to go to be perfect like Christ. And then in the beginning of verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. What's he talking about here? He wants it so that when people see him, they see Christ. And he's looking at his own life, and he's looking at Christ. We'll say Christ is over here at the very highest point. And Paul is looking at himself, and he's here. And he's comparing himself to Christ and think, man, I got so far to go. And he was not satisfied with his own spiritual life, with his own relationship with God. He wanted to be more and more like Christ. So two things we see here. First, Paul recognized he still had work to do. I think that each one of us here recognize that we have more work to do to be like Christ, don't we? Anybody here made it yet? Paul, if Paul hadn't made it, I don't think we've made it either. Second thing, Paul wasn't satisfied with where he was. He wasn't satisfied with just being good. He wanted to be exactly like Christ, and that was his goal. How many of you have heard of a pianist called Paderewski? Okay, one, a couple people. Probably most of you haven't. He's a really good pianist, almost as good as Crystal and Sherry. But he was one of the world's best pianists, and I don't even remember what time period he lived in. But this is what he said about his playing. There have been a few moments when I have known complete satisfaction, but only a few. I have rarely been free from the disturbing realization that my playing might have been better. He wasn't satisfied. And that's how he became one of the best. He wasn't satisfied and was always pushing forward. Paul had that same attitude. I'm not satisfied. When you compare Paul to 99% of the Christians, probably in his day and in our day, where's Paul? If Christ is over here, Paul's here, where are we? Probably outside. We have a long way to go just to reach Paul. Paul, when we can look at Paul's life and his example, we think, man, he's like Christ. But he recognized, I'm not there yet. He wasn't satisfied. Even though he was better than most Christians in his walk with the Lord, he hasn't arrived yet. We need to have that same attitude. Question. Are you satisfied with where you are in your walk with the Lord? I hope that the answer is no. A lot of Christians today, I think they're pretty satisfied. Yeah, I go to church on Sundays. And so because I go to church on Sunday, you know what? I put in my time for this week and I'm good with God now. Hopefully that's not your thought. There's others that are going to think, well, I read my Bible every day, I go to church every Sunday, I serve in Awana, I teach Sunday school, I go to Bible studies each week, I'm doing pretty good. And that's great. That's great to do those things. But we can't be satisfied there. Because even though you do those things, what about the lie you told to your boss last week? What about getting angry with your spouse? None of us should be satisfied because none of us have made it to be like Christ. So the question is, where do you need to grow? Where do you need to grow to be more like Christ? I'd like everybody to jot one thing down of an area that you need to grow to be more like Christ. This could be anything. Could be pride. Looking at Jesus, was Jesus proud? He was humble. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's pornography. Whatever the issue is, I'd like you to just jot this down. I need to grow to be more like Christ in this area. If you can't think of anything, maybe somebody's like, I think I'm pretty good. I can't think of anything. Just ask your wife or your husband. They'll be able to help you. If you're not married, hey, ask a friend. Ask your parents and tell them, hey, be honest with me. What's an area I need to grow in to be more like Christ? Where do you need to grow? We should never be satisfied with where we are. So the first thing is, what was the first point? Don't be satisfied with where you are in the present. Second point is, don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. Verse 13 says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. The past doesn't matter. The past doesn't matter. In verses 4 through 8 of this passage, we're not going to take the time to read it, but Paul was listing off all of his accomplishments, everything he was, and what did he say about it? It's all trash. It's all rubbish. It's not worth anything. Paul forgot the past. We need to forget our past victories. Anybody know what this picture's from? I bet Ron Thompson does. This is Super Bowl 30, 1996, when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Before we came here, we were living in Pennsylvania. I hated living there because there's so many Eagles fans. Oh, Eagles fans are the worst. And I would always go back to them and say, they'd say, yeah, we won the Super Bowl. I said, well, how many Super Bowls have you won? Now, we got 5. You guys have 1. Well, what does that matter for the present? That doesn't matter anything. Right now, the Cowboys are horrible. I mean, even the Colts could beat them. We need to forget our past victory. That doesn't matter for now and for the future. Forget the past accomplishments. Maybe some people are saying, you know, I've spent the last 20 years teaching Sunday school class. You know, God must be pretty content with me. And for me, I spent over 20 years in Latin America. And we were there starting churches. We had lots of opportunities to share the gospel with people. Yeah, God must be pretty happy with me. If that's my thought, where's my focus? On myself. Am I focused on knowing Christ and becoming like Him? No, I'm focused on my own self. I'm focusing on my own accomplishments, not on Christ. And second, that's going to lead me to satisfaction. You know, I'm doing pretty good. When you compare me to the average Christian, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. But what's our goal? To become like Christ. I have a long way to go, folks, to be like Christ. We need to forget our past victories, but we also need to forget our past failures. Do you ever get discouraged? Discouragement can destroy us. Maybe it's a sin in our lives. How many of you are like me, and you have sin, you sin, and then a couple days later you do the same exact thing? And then later you're just like, oh, I can't quit doing this. Why do I keep doing this? And you think, I can never change. Does anybody ever think that like that? Then there's others that might say, you know, Brian, you don't understand what I've done. God could never forgive me. These are lies that Satan wants us to believe. What does God do? Hebrews 8:12 says, for I will be merciful toward their iniquities or their sins, and I will remember their sins no more. God gives us His mercy. God does, what does He do with our sins? In other passages, he buries it in the deepest part of the sea. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. So for those of you who are, God could never forgive me, God can forgive you and he wants to forgive you. And if you've trusted in him, he has forgiven you of those sins. And for those of us that are struggling and get the same sin over and over and over, God forgives us each time. What does Jesus teach the disciples about how many times they should forgive their neighbor? 70 times 7. Can you do the math? Okay, it's 490. 490 times he tells them. And really, he's just telling them, you need to keep forgiving them always. Well, you know what? Jesus has forgiven me more than 490 times. And because Jesus has forgiven me, Jesus wants to help me to change. So I cannot live in those past defeats because Jesus is going to help me to be transformed into the image of Christ. So the first thing is, don't be satisfied in the present. Second is, don't live in the past. That's up there already. The third one is, press on to the future. Let's go back to verse 12. It says, I press on to make it my own. Verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So what does this mean? Press on, strain forward. Here's a few definitions from a Bible dictionary. It says, to follow or press hard after, to pursue with earnestness and diligence in order to obtain. Straining forward is to stretch to the limit. It's like in an athletic competition, and Paul loves his athletic examples. I think Paul probably likes sports. He talks about boxing, he talks about racing, and that's what he's talking about here. Stretching forth, pressing on in a race. What do they give it their all. Before they're training, they're giving it their all to win the race. And that's what we should be doing as well as Christians. And athletes do it. What separates the very good athletes in the best athletes? What separates them? Now, sometimes it's natural ability, but a lot of times these guys have the same natural ability, but what separates them is their work ethic, their determination, that they're pressing on, they're giving it their all to get better, to perfect their craft. You know who one of my favorite athletes is? Joey Chestnut. Now, probably most of you know who he is, but if you don't know who he is, he's a professional eater. Every year on the 4th of July, there's a Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and he would win it every year, except for this past year because they wouldn't let him participate. But in September of this year, he broke the record for the most hot dogs. You know how many hot dogs he ate in 10 minutes? 83. Now, you might be thinking, what does this have to do with growing to be more like Christ? Well, how many hot dogs could you eat in 10 minutes? Some of you think, I could just eat one. Some of the young guys over here, I could eat 15, 20. 30, I could eat 30, well, maybe. But to eat 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes, first of all, you have to practice and prepare your body for that. How much time did he spend practicing for this? Then to not gain all that weight, what does he do? He must have to work out a lot. And then as you're pushing through, can you imagine you've eaten 45 hot dogs after 5 minutes, and you got to keep going. And he pushes through. And you know what? After eating those 83, I imagine this was his thought. You know what? Ugh. I messed up at this spot. I coughed, and I bet I could have eaten another one. He probably wasn't satisfied. He tries to beat what he did the previous time on the next time. And the point is that he's willing to work, to suffer, to go through anything to accomplish his goals. Paul was the same way. Paul would press on. He went through so many trials. And his goal was to be like Christ, and nothing was going to stop him from accomplishing his goal. Are you willing to give your all to know Christ and become like him? We need to press on, just like Paul, to become like Christ. What are you doing right now to be more like Christ? What are you doing? Oh, I'm going to church. I read my Bible. Well, think about that area that you wrote down on your notepad earlier. Hopefully you wrote something down. And if you didn't write it down, what are you thinking about? What's the area where you want to grow to be more like Christ? What are you doing to become more like Christ in that area? We need to press on, and we're going to talk a little bit at the very end about some steps that we can do to press on to the future. So let's review. What's the first one? Don't be satisfied with the present. Number two, don't live in the past. And number three, press on to the future. Now, why? Why should we do this? This is a lot of work. Why should we do all of this? Let's go back to verse 12. It says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus had made me his own. First of all, Christ Jesus has made me his own. I've been adopted by the King. I've been forgiven of all of my sins. I've been made a new creation. I've been given an inheritance in heaven. I've been transformed in this life. I'm not perfect, but God is doing a work in me, transforming me. And he gives me joy. 2 Corinthians 5:14 is one of my favorite verses. The love of Christ compels me. That's my biggest motivation for living to try to please Christ, to become like him, because of what he did for me on the cross. He made me his own. So I should want to live to please him because of what he did for me. The second thing is, this is his plan for me. Now I'm going to read that same verse, but in a different translation. This is the New King James. It says, I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. What is that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me? That's God's plan for us. He had a purpose in laying hold of us, of making me his own. And what is that purpose? Romans 8:28 and 29. Verse 28, it says, and for we know that for those who love God, all things work together. Excuse me, all things work together for good. So who are those that love God? Us. Those who would know Christ, those who have been saved by God. If you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, you're one of these that love God. So for those that love God, all things work together for good. Everything that happens in our lives is for our good. When you get a raise at work, is that for your good? Yeah. What about when you lose your job? Is that for your good? Well, how can that be for my good? Just a minute, we're going to see how that can be for our good. It says, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, but it's not necessarily what we think is good. It's according to his purpose. Well, what is his purpose? We still haven't seen that. That's in the next verse. For those whom he foreknew. What does foreknew mean? He knew ahead of time. He knew before I was born that I was going to be his child. He knew everything ahead of time. Those he foreknew, he also predestined. What does predestined mean? That means to determine ahead of time. God had a plan for my life before I was even born. And God's plan was what? He foreknew that he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. What's God's plan? That I be like Christ. What's God's plan for Paul? That he be like Christ. What's God's plan for you? To be like Christ. That's the good in verse 28. All things work together for good. The good is that God's using these circumstances to mold me into the image of Christ. So first of all, God had made me his own. Second reason is because this is his plan for me. But third, there's a future prize. In verse 14, I says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's pressing on toward the goal. What's the goal? Being like Christ. Knowing Christ and being like Christ. So he's pressing on toward that goal for the prize. What's the prize? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A few verses later, down in verse 20 and 21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. One day, we're going to go to heaven. And that's the prize. We're going to have a glorious body, a body like Christ. I'm not going to get sick anymore. Isn't that great? But you know what's even better? I'm not going to sin anymore. Isn't that amazing? That's the prize, that we are going to be exactly like Christ. We're not going to sin anymore. We're striving for that in our lives. And one of the reasons why we should strive for that is because it's God's plan and because that's what God's going to do to us in the future. And so we should be striving to get closer and closer to that each day. So, why should we press on? Christ made me his own. Christ, this is his plan for me, and there is a future prize. Let's continue on in verse 15. It says, let those of us who are mature think this way. Those of us who are mature. Now, some of your Bible translations probably say perfect, because different translations translate it different ways. But this word mature here is the same word as in verse 12 that says perfect. That Paul says, I'm not yet perfect, it says. In verse 12. And here he's saying, let those who are perfect. So what's he saying here? Some commentaries think he's being a little bit sarcastic here. And for those people that think that I'm doing pretty good and God's satisfied with me and I'm satisfied with myself, he's saying, hey, you haven't arrived yet. So for those of you think that way, you need to think this way. Those of you who are mature, think this way. What way? I'm not satisfied with where I am spiritually. I'm not satisfied that I have done enough, that I'm like Christ enough. And pressing on, that needs to be my goal, and I need to work hard to be more like Christ. Next part of the verse says, if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. So there's many people that, you know, they're content. They're satisfied with where they are. And his prayer is, I hope God shows you that you're not fine. You need to improve. You need to become more and more like Christ by knowing him. It's not by doing, it's by becoming like him, by knowing him. How about you? One of my prayers is that God would use this passage, these verses, to help show us some areas that where we've been satisfied. Show us where we need to grow, to work, to be more like Christ. Then in verse 16 it says, only let us hold true to what we have attained. One translation translates it's more of a paraphrase, but it says, now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Okay, now we're thinking right way. Our goal is what? To be like Christ. That's our goal. We want to be like Christ. Our thinking is, I'm not satisfied with where I am. I can't live in the past, and so I'm going to strive hard to be like Christ. That should be our thinking. Now let's go do it. That's what Paul's saying here. So how about you? Do you think this way? Or are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you living in the past? Maybe it's past victories, like the people and some of the religious leaders of Paul's time. Or maybe it's past defeats, and Satan is using that to keep you down. Are you pressing on to know Christ and to be like him? Well, what does this mean for us? First of all, if you are satisfied, repent. Repent and press on. All of us need to repent at times. We all need to press on to become more like Christ. If you are living in the past, remember God's forgiveness and press on. Think about what God has done for you. And recognize, I can go on, I can continue on. God can change my heart. And the third thing is, in what way do you need to grow to be more like Christ? We've talked about this several times. What do you need to do to be, what way do you need to grow to be more like Christ? What is the area that needs to change in your life? What I want you to do with that this week is this: search the Scriptures. And not just search the Scriptures to find verses that talk about the topic. For example, and let's say the problem is anger. So the Bible says in Ephesians 4:31 to put away all anger and malice and bitterness and all of that. Sure, those are good verses. But how does knowing Jesus change my angry heart? So Jesus has shown me great mercy, has shown me great grace. And so as I meditate on him and think about his grace and mercy to me, that should help me, that should change my heart to, as I'm comparing his love towards me and my love towards others, that, you know what, I need to have more patience with people. As we meditate on him, a lot of times we get angry because we lose control of something. And things are out of our control and we get angry. And we explode. But when we think about Jesus, Jesus is in control of everything. We don't need to be in control. And so as I focus on him and meditate on him and how he's in control, he's been merciful to me and kind to me, that helps to change me and to help me to be more like Christ. The more I know Christ, the more I will become like Christ. So the first thing is to search the Scriptures. Maybe you're a selfish husband, which I'm included in that. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What did Jesus do for us as a church? Jesus died. He gave his life. He left heaven to come here to live as a servant, to be treated wickedly, crucified on a cross, and he did that for me. Am I loving my wife that way? The more I focus and get to know Christ, Christ will change me. So after searching the Scriptures, meditate on the Scriptures. Meditate on Christ and who he is and what he's done, and focus on him and worship him, which is the next one. Worship Jesus. And as we do this, God starts to change our hearts and we become more like him. Finally, if you need help, ask. Maybe you're thinking, you mentioned a couple examples of some verses to read, but you didn't mention the issue that I struggle with. Come talk to me later. I'd be happy to sit down with you. Maybe you want some counseling. You want to sit down with somebody and just walk through this together and get help. That's what our counseling ministry is for. None of our counselors have made it. We're all in the process. We don't need to be fearful about going, oh, I need to go ask for help. We all need help at times. If you need help, that's what we're here for. We want to love on you and help you to grow to be more like Christ, as we need to grow to be more like Christ as well. My challenge for you this week is this, that you start doing this. If you need to repent, talk to God. Repent from your sin. Repent from your satisfaction of where you are. Repent from not living with the goal of pleasing Him instead of the goal of living for ourselves and our own desires. I challenge you to repent of that. Search the Scriptures. As we search the Scriptures, look so that we can know Christ and who He is and worship Him. And as we get to know Him better, He's going to be changing our lives, transforming us into the image of Christ. If you want to talk, I'll be standing here in the front, and I'll pray with you. Or if you want to just pray in your seat, that's fine too. But I challenge you, if you need to repent, if you need to quit being satisfied, quit living in the past, and start living for Jesus, I challenge you to make that decision this week. And search the Scriptures, meditate on them, worship Jesus, and if you need to ask for help, come do it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for everything that we have and everything that we are in Christ. We praise You and thank You for who You are. We thank You for dying on the cross for us. And we worship You and praise You because You are the only one worthy of praise, not us. And I pray that You would help us to not live in the past, not be satisfied with our present, and to press on towards the future of becoming more and more like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.